Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody. Today we're going to look at a few planetary transits that are all perfecting at once this week. We're going to look at Mercury conjoining with Mars in Scorpio, and both Mercury and Mars in Scorpio squaring Saturn in Aquarius. We're going to break this down on a few different levels this week. We're going to start today by looking at the archetypal combinations themselves, and then talk about their mixture and what the lessons might be as the week progresses. So yeah, one of the bigger transits of the year because of its placement in the midst of a buildup to a lunar eclipse. So yeah, there's a lot to unpack today. We'll get into it in just a second. Before I do that, I want to remind everybody, just 5 days left to sign up for my new class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. The class starts on Saturday. So if you are interested in studying with us, be sure to sign up. You have until Friday to take advantage of the early bird rate. You go to my website, nightlightastrology.com, and you can click on the first year course page under the courses tab to learn all about it. It is over 100 hours worth of classroom content in the course of a year. Our classes are 2 to 3 hours each. We meet 30 times on the year. And in between units, we also have breakout study sessions where you get to ask questions and work with our tutoring staff to help you if you need any help with the material that we're covering. We also have 12 additional guest lectures, tons of bonus content, reading, optional homework assignments, all sorts of stuff, a discussion forum. You can ask questions of me at any time. We've got an on-call tutoring staff year-round. It's just an incredible program. Starts on Saturday, November 13th. And if you still want to sign up, you can. You have until Friday. So the early bird payment saves you $500 off. Use that before Friday to save. If you need a payment plan, that's there too with the full tuition. And then the we also have need-based tuition for people who might need some help for whatever reason. We try to make sure that no one's ever priced out. So a couple days left. I'm really excited to get started. Our orientation went out. Orientation email went out on Friday of last week. So if you signed up for the program and you're waiting for it still, you haven't gotten it, make sure you check your spam folder or give us an email for whatever reason you didn't get it. You can email us info@nightlightastrology.com. All right. So I'm really excited about that. And also I'm excited because on November, right around the 20th, 22nd, somewhere right in there, my Kickstarter will be launching. And I'll be doing my annual fundraiser for all the content that I create. I'm going to be creating in 2022. So more about that next week. In the meantime, let's pull up the real-time clock before we dive into today's talk. And let's take a look at what the planets are doing. Now, I'm just going to plug in a few more. I'm going to get my outer planets plugged in here. So one of the things that you can see that's happening in the sky right now, the most important that we're going to be talking about today anyway, is Mercury's conjunction with Mars. And then both of those planets are simultaneously moving into a square with Saturn. Now, as this is happening, the moon is also getting close to Aquarius, which is where the first quarter moon will be made. So this is a pretty significant week in terms of the evolution of this eclipse cycle and all of the things that are going to be happening around the full moon as well, which will involve both Mercury and Mars also moving through oppositions to Uranus. So it is really a pretty big month. I love that in the midst of all of this, the sun is going to hit a square to Jupiter. That can feel really nice. That's kind of has a feeling of victory and lift behind it. These transits can be kind of intense. And so it's nice that we've got Sun-Jupiter coming together during this time as well. A little bit of Sun-Neptune trine. So, you know, we're going to try to talk about the concentrated energies of Mercury, Mars, and Saturn today, but knowing that these are in the background, that's something we'll unpack as the week and month goes on as well. So, okay. I want to talk now about these combinations archetypally, so that we have some sense of how they're combining. So we have to talk about Mercury conjoined Mars. We have to talk about Mercury square Saturn, and we have to talk about Mars square Saturn. And for fun today, I thought that I would do that by way of talking about famous people's charts who have these aspects, because sometimes it's really helpful to talk about the archetypal combination, but also give some examples of famous people or things that they've done that sort of exemplify the planetary combinations. So at any rate, These are by no means comprehensive, but just to give you some quick impressions, let's talk about Mercury conjoining Mars and Scorpio. This is Mars's home sign. And when the two planets come together in the same sign, it was called an adherence or a bodily union, which means that the two planets are basically becoming a blend and they become one thing. Their fields sort of meld together. So when Mercury conjoins with Mars, you have speed with both Mercury and Mars as a feature, mental speed, communicative speed, analytical speed, as well as power, mental power, executive power, intellectual things that cut, words that harm, etc. So one thing I love about this transit is that it can be very effective mentally, intellectually, and in terms of communication, technology. It can be very inventive, can be very fast and easily adapted to different situations, all of which is pretty good. Some of the things that I don't love about this would be that Mercury conjoined with Mars can lead to, an intellectual pride, a sense of, you know, mean or cruel or harsh or intense speech or words, manipulation, sometimes lies and deception. Mercury Mars can be very, I'll get what I want no matter what, no matter how I get it. But mostly I see this as a pretty good transit, the conjunction of Mercury Mars, as resourceful, intelligent, fast, adaptable. You'll often see it as a sign of someone who has intellectual, technological, some kind of craft or skill that they're really good at. Sometimes it's someone who's very entrepreneurial. Mercury is sometimes associated with the marketplace and money. Some interesting examples of people that were born with Mercury conjoined with Mars. John F. Kennedy, JFK, Mercury conjoined Mars. A very good example of someone who had was very good with speech and rhetoric. He was known for being something of a wordsmith. He was just very compelling and persuasive. And that's something that's a hallmark of Mercury Mars, is someone who has the ability to persuade others, or that can be very like a chameleon. They know how to shapeshift depending on environment and how to speak and act and think on their feet. You see this sometimes in the charts of people who have acting skills. There's a lot of actors that have this, one of the most famous being Meryl Streep. But then on the deceptive side, you have to be careful, because you get someone like Richard Nixon, who's famous for, you know, deceit that was a big part of his life, among other things. But and I'm not here to make judgments or anything. I'm just, you know, just kind of reporting biographical details that fit elements of the Mercury conjoined Mars signature. And there's a lot more that would be applicable. Alan Watts, he's a great example, as was Terrence McKenna, both very similar, where they were just very interesting, chameleon-like intellectual figures, philosophers, spiritual commentary. They offered spiritual, intellectual commentary, talked about psychedelics, spirituality. Then you have people like athletes who are really, really talented too. Sometimes Mercury and Mars together are often a sign of someone who has incredible athletic skill or prowess. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar comes to mind. Interestingly, there's a number of astrologers that have this. And I think that it's probably common to see astrologers with this, because you have to have the art of being able to like interpret and talk and think on your feet when reading charts for other people or teaching people about astrology, being something of a personality on a stage that can be like, kind of quick on their feet. Rick Levine, Stephen Forrest are two that come to mind. Great storytellers and people I really admire. I actually didn't know that they had Mercury conjoined with Mars until I was doing a little research. And I also have Mercury conjoined with Mars. I thought that was kind of interesting. When I was a kid, that Mercury conjoined with Mars, by the way, I had a stint in my teen years where I really got into stealing things. And not like, you know, just petty, stupid stuff, but still I got in trouble for it at one point. And I just think it's funny because Mercury Mars I had some really big transits to Mercury and Mars when I was during that time of my life. So yeah, Mercury Mars also, interestingly, in my own chart, like one of the ways I've experienced it is I never ever thought that I would be like an entrepreneurial type where I would like start my own business or whatever. And yeah, it's just weird. It's weird how that happened. And there's Mercury conjoined with Mars, and Mercury happens to also be the second house ruler in my chart, which makes sense. It's my place of business and finances and stuff like that. So anyway, sometimes you'll see the kind of like risk-taking qualities mentally. Also people who are very inventive will often have Mercury conjoined with Mars. People who like, I would say, in the case of Terence McKenna in particular, he's sort of a trailblazer, pioneer type of intellectual. So you see that kind of like trailblazing, risk-taking quality. So these are some, I just want to give you guys the feeling of Mercury conjoined with Mars. Now, on again, the shadow sides, I would say would be like being too intense or aggressive, like verb. Like when I was a kid, my mom used to say things like, you got to, what was the phrase she used? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. That was a big one. And the next one was always like, avoiding gossip. Like I would get feedback from teachers and youth leaders that I needed to be careful about gossip. That's something that Mercury Mars can, you know, just the chatty, words that hurt, words that harm. Also, my mom used to say, you have to tame your tongue. And I think it was like a biblical quote that she used, but at any rate, taming the tongue. These are all kind of Mercury Mars things. And actually, like I would say, having kids has been one of the biggest lessons of my whole life in terms of like mental and like verbal temperance. So interesting that I have some synastry around my Mercury Mars with both of my kids' charts. And anyway, so going on, Mercury, remember, in Scorpio is going to be moving into the square with Saturn, and Mars is as well. So let's look at those aspects. If you think about Mercury square to Saturn, you're often thinking about the mental, intellectual, rational, communicative qualities, all mercurial things, things involving markets, skills, trades, crafts, but also Saturn, which can make them more conservative, boring, careful, slow, methodical, structured, controlling, rigid, but also serious. There's a gravitas to the Mercury-Saturn combination that can lend people an aura of dignity and professionalism and mastery and things like that. For example, I'm just going to, and again, none of this is meant to be political or judgmental. I'm just giving, you know, statements about people like, for example, Robert Smith from The Cure. If you think about just the kind of melancholic, heavy quality to like his voice and his lyrics and things like that, it's very Mercury Saturn. It can become kind of like melancholic. But you could also think of someone who Mercury Saturn, who has to live in a way that is very, very structured and rigorous, like Lance Armstrong. Set aside, for example, that he has some challenges in his chart that show up too around deception because of the lying about doping. But Lance Armstrong, incredibly disciplined athlete. Mercury was the ruler of things like athletics along with Mars at times in the ancient world. So Lance Armstrong, cyclist, people who are wordsmiths, and they have like a gravitas, like a prophetic sense of the elder, like Maya Angelou, for example. People who do think like Warren Buffett. He said that he's the richest man who's also the most boring man or something like that. I don't remember what the phrase was, but he's like, you know, what he does for a living is supposedly very boring. And yet he makes a lot of money, but the way he makes it is very kind of just traditional and sort of talked about is not very exciting. I don't really know because I don't know much about Warren Buffett. This is just stuff that I was reading online and found very interesting. Sometimes you're going to have the feeling of controlled and boring where people are like, oh my God, could you just have a little life in you? For example, one of the things that Hillary Clinton, who has Mercury square Mars, or Saturn gets accused of quite a bit is like, you're the most boring, uninspiring speaker. You're too controlled. People don't like that. On the other hand, you can have Mercury square Saturn with almost like an obsessive, controlled paranoia kind of quality, like Woody Allen, who talks about himself as someone with like chronic control and anxiety issues. He talks about himself that way. You also have people like J.R.R. Tolkien, who can craft languages and build, you know, worlds. So like he's like a world builder, very Mercury Saturn. Rush Limbaugh, conservative, you know, is it radio or TV? I don't remember, but obviously a pinnacle of like, an icon, I mean, of like conservative talk radio or whatever. Isaac Newton discovering laws about the nature of reality, Benjamin Franklin also discovering important important things about the nature of physical forces. So Mercury Saturn can also show up in a variety of different ways. I also happen to have Mercury Saturn in my chart, and I'm someone, like when I was a kid, I just read and read and read and read. I read books like all the time. And as an adult, like I'm just such a reader and a student, and I'm very disciplined every day with my routines, like whether it's meditation, working out, like I'm always very sort of disciplined and structured with my routine. So maybe that's a Mercury Saturn thing. It's funny that I have both the Mercury Mars and the Mercury Saturn, because I sort of have natally what's happening in the sky right now. Let's see, the downside of this one again would be maybe lack of spontaneity, having to break out of routines and habits or patterns, maybe being too controlling, boring, stiff, a little too heavy or dark, taking oneself too seriously at times. Mercury square Saturn can be like that too. So Mercury is conjoining with Mars, Mercury squaring Saturn. Well, how about Mars square Saturn? This one tends to be about deliberate effort, concentrated energy, sometimes a little bit of a push and pull between the fast and the slow, or the gas pedal and the brake pedal. You also have the concentrated, heroic, persevering qualities. It's a transit that can be really getting stuff done. It can also be sort of ruthless at times. For example, you have people like Hitler, Nero, both like, you know, warmonger types, and very controlled, and I'll do whatever it takes to have complete control and dominion. Like, it can be very intense like that. You also have people like Conor McGregor, who has a kind of out of sign in his chart, but you have Conor McGregor with a fading square from Mars to Saturn. And it's it's a pretty good example of someone who is like this hard knocks guy who comes up from nothing and becomes this like a warrior champion. And he ends up also becoming sort of ruthless and tyrannical, breaks his leg or something recently. Excuse me. So those are some of the things. Also, people who have sense of like the power, the kind of like the sense of like dark power, you know, like James Gandolfini, who played Tony Soprano. It was like a career defining role that he played as like a mafia lord. So there's kind of that dark side, like the Marquis de Sade. He also, who was someone who made, you know, S&M, I guess, kind of more popular. He wrote about sadism. He wrote about cruelty and sexuality, or some element of control and domination within sexual dynamics. I don't know a lot about him, but so just that kind of dark, heavy dominatrix kind of quality. Maybe there's something about control and power, and also it's like sexuality and things like that. And there's also there's something to be said for the quality of control and like precision and heroism and rising up from difficult things. Hemingway, for example, a great wordsmith who is very concise and measured in his language, but also at times just way too intense. And, you know, I think he took his own life. So, you know, that just that Mars Saturn dynamic where you kind of have the sense of rugged, do it yourself, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, you know, be strong, be solid, be disciplined. These kinds of qualities are a big part of Mars square Saturn. For example, the figure who most popularly embodies Mars Saturn right now is probably Jordan Peterson, who's also born with Mars square Saturn. Make your bed, take care of yourself, you know, get your ducks in a row. Like he has that kind of, be resilient and, you know, be tough minded and stuff like that. And he's also famous for sort of being sort of angry. You know, he's like, people are like, oh, he has a lot of good things to say. He's kind of angry. Some people hate him. you know, but a lot of what he says also is like, very like conservative, like Mars square Saturn kind of vibe can be very conservative. But, as someone with Mars, broadly moving into a square with Saturn when I was born, I can say that there's also that sense of, there's no one that's going to take care of you except for yourself. And you have to rise up and meet that challenge. You know, there's a meme that goes around on Instagram. Sometimes I see it and it's like, nobody's going to get you up in the morning. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to tell you to go do this. And it's showing someone like doing their push-ups in the morning and, you know, like very Mars Saturn. So if you can think of the Mars Saturn energy generally as concentrated energy, like the discipline of someone who's in the military or training for an Ironman or a triathlon or something, that quality of will meets discipline and stuff like that. And it can go too far. It can get, there's kind of a dark side. That's why I can tilt into some of these control, power, domination qualities and anger and like severity, cruelty, harshness. So you can feel the energies in the air right now. Mercury conjoined with Mars, both square to Saturn. The questions of control, will, power, mind, strength, domination. Wow. It's a powerful mix this week as the first quarter moon, which is of the nature of Mars, because the moon's going to be square to the sun, squares are of the nature of Mars, is coming through. So it's a very powerful and potentially very frustrated energy. And be careful being overly bound up and controlled, and be careful not to try it and control other people and how they think. Be careful with your words, be careful with your thoughts. Be compassionate, be patient. This is a great week to use these energies to gather resources, to double down on the disciplines that are healthy and not overbearing, to double down on the things that you're doing that are good for you, that you need to, you know, that are going to help you feel good about yourself, because you're rising up and meeting challenges and you're using your resources. You're being intelligent in the way that you get things done. Just be careful about severity and harshness and the strictness with which you're doing things or something like that. Don't try to push through things because where you really shouldn't, because these are the kinds of transits where things can break. Friendships can break, feelings can be hurt, and we can inflict wounds upon one another. Also, you know, I'm actually someone who really appreciates the gospel of, come on, you can do it. Take care of yourself, make your bed. Like I have Mars Saturn, you know, and Mercury Saturn in my birth chart. And I'm happen to have exalted Saturn, you know, in the sixth house, the joy of Mars. So I can appreciate that, but also remember that, we live in a universe. I think we can, you know, Bhakti Yoga speaks to me because the end of the day, you know, a mark of our spiritual progress is not how disciplined and how strong we've become through self-mastery, but how much we've been able to love. You know, how much can we love? How much can we forgive? How much mercy and patience and compassion can we show? And that is its own kind of discipline, to stay home in the heart. And so let's not forget that this week with these energies coming through. They can whip up our enthusiasm and give us this kind of martial strength of mind and will, and, you know, get us real disciplined and principled about everything. But let's be careful, because really, what's it all about if not love? If it's not enhancing love, compassion, peace, if it's not enhancing the best virtues within us in terms of our tone of voice or how we speak to each other, or you know, we might be principled, but if you're principled and it is constantly demolishing other people in your path, if you're disciplined but you're not very nice to yourself inside, you know, those things matter a lot more in the long run. You can think of ourselves, the ultimate discipline is allowing the water of love to gradually wear down our rough edges over, you know, maybe millions of lifetimes. Well, that takes a different kind of patience and a different kind of strength. And a lot of that requires more forgiveness than it does willpower. Well, maybe forgiveness needs a certain kind of willpower as well, but just make sure that you remember peace, patience, forgiveness, mercy, tolerance, compassion this week, because these energies of the get things done, they can be a little harsh and severe too. So at any rate, this is our first pass. We're going to talk about it tomorrow a little bit more from, I think, the standpoint of the I Ching. We'll bring that in a little bit and unpack the transit a little bit more. If you have stories to share, use the hashtag grabbed. Put the aspect in particular, Mercury conjoined with Mars or Mercury square Saturn or all three or whatever. Keep the story really concise, a short paragraph. I might share some stories maybe next week. Probably most of this week, we're going to be talking about the transits because they're so powerful, but next week we might get into some storytelling. If you have stories you want to share, but you don't want to put them in the comment box, you can email us grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Don't forget, my course starts on Saturday. Come sign up. Let's hope to see you in class. Early bird rate lasts until Friday. So be sure to take advantage of that on my website, nightlightastrology.com. Go to the courses page, click on the first year course. All right, that's what I've got for today. I hope you're doing well. And feel free to share any stories you guys have. You have these aspects in your own chart as well. All right, take it easy, everyone. Bye.